Welcome to the Financially Intentional Podcast Expert Edition. Every Tuesday, I'll be joined by an expert in a particular field that is here to help you get your money right. These people are going to impart some serious knowledge, y'all. I'll be right here learning right beside you guys. So be prepared to take notes, and more importantly, be prepared to take intentional action.
What's up, you guys? You know I'll be dropping this baby like it's hot in the next couple of months, and it is only right that I invite you to my baby shower. Now, this baby shower is going to be virtual, so don't trip about traveling all the way to California. In this baby shower, I will be teaching you, yes, you, how to invest and grow your wealth for your kids. It'll be jam-packed with games, prizes, but education to give back to you, my community, as it is only right to do as I am bringing a new life in the world. So join me April 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific for my virtual baby shower. To sign up, click the link in the show notes or go to financiallyintentional.com/baby shower. See you there. What's up? What's up, my financially intentional people? I'm super juiced to have Atiyah Long joining us. She is my personal CPA, and she's going to be an expert CPA on the Financially Intentional podcast. So first and foremost, welcome, hey, Atiyah. So happy to have you. Yes. And we're going to talk about, as this episode is coming out April 4th, we're going to talk about things that last minute filers should be considering, because I'm one of them. Don't be mad at me, Atiyah. You're probably like, oh yeah, whatever. Special things that people who procrastinate with their taxes, like me, should be considering.
Oh, that's a great question. Very timely. I think what a lot of people who are procrastinators, they need to be considering is filing an extension. A lot of times people don't think that that's an option, or they wait until after the deadline to be like, okay, I'll file an extension. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how that works. So if you are a procrastinator, reach out to your tax professional, have them file an extension for you. You do have to realize that the extension is allowing you up to 6 months to file your return. So you're able to file it late, but it doesn't give you an extension if you owe. So if you do owe money, you're going to be incurring interest from the April 18th date, but you're able to file it up until 6 months with no penalties of late filing. So that's kind of the difference people need to know. But there's nothing wrong with filing an extension, especially if you're not ready, because you don't want somebody to rush and try to get it done when you could just take your time, file the extension, and then make sure it's filed correctly.
All right. So that's good to know. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is I need to file an extension. Done. So I don't think that people understand that, though. Like, if they do actually owe the taxes, like, whatever they owe is going to be, like, charged penalties from the April 18th date, correct? So even though they might not figure out exactly how much they owe, that interest
dating. The best thing to do is, you know, to have an estimated payment submitted, so at least you're covered for something if you do owe. There are ways that you can figure out approximately what you're going to owe, so you can do that tax projection. But if you do owe, you just have to be aware that your interest is going to be incurring as of the actual deadline, so April 18th, until you actually file the return and pay the amount due.
And where do we go to figure out, like,
You can go to IRS.gov. They have what they call like a withholding calculator. And so that's going to tell you what you should be withholding throughout the year. And so a flip way to look at that is if you are a small business owner, that's going to tell you kind of what your estimated tax payments should be throughout the year. And that should let you know what you should be submitting. So that's one of the ways that you can do it.
But if you've been paying taxes like out of your W-2 income, do you still recommend that people do that?
You have your withholdings coming out, and your withholdings are up to date. So the way I just talked about the withholding calculator, because a lot of times people don't update their withholdings. So they're not withholding the right amount, or they're withholding too much or too little, too much or too little. So one of the ways to make sure that you're withholding the right amount on your W-2 is with that. I don't think it's necessary if you're only a W-2 employee and you have your withholdings and it's sufficient. You don't have to submit estimated payments at that time, but it does come into play if you do have extra income sources that weren't incorporated in your W-2 withholdings.
So like someone like me who has W-2 income, but also has a business income, that's something that you would recommend, because obviously with that business income, a lot of it is not taxed. So you have to estimate that into those withholdings. I just find those withholding calculators a little bit tricky to use. I don't know. I know you think like they're super straightforward, but they are. It is like so confusing to me. Do you have any tips?
It used to be, I think it used to be a lot more complicated because it talked about exemptions and all that stuff. So they kind of revamped it in what I call like a streamlined. So it really takes your actual situation into play. So it's going to ask about your W-2. It's also going to ask you, do you have other sources of income? So that's where you can kind of put your projections for what your freelance business is going to give you. And then it's going to calculate what your withholding should be. So you can actually adjust your W-2 withholdings at your job to incorporate your income that you're going to be getting from your side business. So it does kind of make it a little bit more simple. The form does kind of go in the what you're going to make at your job, what your spouse is going to make at their job. And then if either of you have extra income, it's going to kind of go in those silos. But I do find it helpful because you can actually adjust your withholdings at your job to incorporate your side business.
Right. I have done that in the past. Okay. So besides making sure that we file our extensions I want to talk about actually, what is that penalty by the tax deadline?
There are going to be a couple penalties that you could be incurring. One is going to be late filing. That could be 5% up to 25%. So it's going to be like 5% each month up to 25%. And the late paying, that interest can actually vary. And I believe it's at 0.5 every day until it hits 25, but don't quote me on these because I kind of try to get them in on time. But the interest rates can be found on the irs.gov website to figure out what your actual penalties are going to be if you're late filing.
Is that the percentage of your income or percentage of how much you might actually
owe? It's actually a percentage of what you owe. So people that are getting a refund, they don't have to worry about those interest rates because it's based on what you actually owe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any other considerations that people need to think about like in this last month?
Last two weeks, actually. Because we're kind of at the end of it, I think a lot of people need to realize that they need to have a picture of their situation. So a lot of times people aren't paying attention to what tax form they should be getting in. You need to know what your situation is. If you own a home, you should be expecting to get a 1098. And if you don't get that, you should, you know, contact your bank to make sure that maybe they went paperless and it's in your portal. But you should be aware of what type of forms that you should be getting so that you can submit them to your tax professional so that you're not missing forms. Because a lot of times what people don't understand is the government knows all of these forms. That's the purpose of them having numbers. It's kind of like an inventory system. So if a form was issued to you, even if you don't report it, chances are the government knows about it. And by you not reporting it, it's just going to increase your chances of you getting a notice because they are going to be doing their comparison checks and saying, well, you got this 1099 here, but I don't see it on your tax return. So really just being aware of your situation, knowing what is supposed to be reported so that you can be proactive to figure out why you haven't received something yet.
Okay. So that's super important. But for people who are self-employed and get 1099s, they might be getting tons of 1099s. When was the last date for people to send out 1099s to you?
You should have received your 1099 NEC was January 31st, but there are ways that people could be submitting 1099s up until March 31st if it was a 1099 miscellaneous. So there are different time frames that you could get 1099s. So you can still get some within the next few days trickling in if they were, you know, they waited until the March 31st deadline, and then they're going to be submitting it to you by mail. So that's something to look out for, but it's also great for you to keep records of your own information, because sometimes people just don't file what they're supposed to, right? So you can't rely on the vendor that hired you, the person that hired you, to submit your 1099, because if they're not keeping up with their tax records, they might not issue a 1099. That doesn't mean that you didn't earn the income and aren't supposed to be reporting the income. So there are such things as late filings. So somebody could be catching up on all of their bookkeeping, and they can issue their 1099s late. And that just means that you'll get a late 1099 and you might have to amend your return. But it doesn't mean that you have to wait for them if you know what your income is supposed to be for the year.
Got it. So if you submitted a W-4 with that person, and you know you've made over, correct me if I'm wrong, you get a 1099 if you make over $600 with the person, correct?
And so you would have submitted a W-9.
A W-9, I'm sorry. That's W-4. We're here too, right? Yes. See? Thanks for catching that. Yeah, so you submit a W-9 for these people. So if you submit a W-9, it doesn't automatically mean that that person is going to create your 1099 for you, right? So it's just something you have to keep an eye on, something you should be keeping records on.
Exactly. So I tell people, good practice is to collect a W-9 from every contractor you're going to work with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to hit that $600 threshold. Mm-hmm. So for one, they might not hit the threshold, so you're not going to have to issue a 1099. And on the flip side, if you issue a W-9 because you know you're a contractor and you're working with this particular person that hired you, and if they're not keeping up to track and they're not submitting their 1099s, but you made $1,000 from them, your records should still show that you made $1,000, even if they don't do what they're supposed to on their part and submit that 1099.
Okay. So if you file your own taxes, or you as a tax preparer, when you're reconciling these things, like, do you actually go in and say, okay, you're looking at QuickBooks, you're looking at my QuickBooks and say, I know you got paid like $1,000 from this, you know, company. Where is the 1099? Do you do that?
So we have clients where we submit lists of who should be submitting 1099 so that they have it for the records and they kind of have an inventory. But like we said, we know that because we see that the income is there. So the client is going to be covered. Like, they're going to be reporting the correct amount of income, but it's really just to do, you know, close that loop of we made this income and we should get a 1099.
Yes.
But we can't force, like, you can't force that person.
Right.
It's a part of their requirements, but there's no way for you to enforce that they submit that 1099 without you just requesting it and, you know, hoping that they are doing their due diligence to submit it.
So when you submit your tax returns, are the 1099s part of those tax returns, or is it just something that you should just be keeping for your records in case of an audit?
So both are. You do issue your 1099s with your tax returns. You include it in your income. But for the most part, because there are some people that fall off and don't submit, your income that you're reporting for your business, chances are it's going to be higher than the 1099 list that you actually have. So, and the reason for that is because some of those vendors, you're not going to hit 600. So it's still included in your income, but you don't get a 1099. Mm-hmm. So for multiple reasons, your income will be higher. And so in that case, it's covered with all the 1099s, but you do want to make sure that you're reporting all the 1099s that come, because that's a tax form that the government gets a copy of.
Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So what I wanted to talk to you about is actually, like, what is the difference between, like, if you're filing last minute versus you're trying to get, like, a tax preparer like you to work with you last minute? What are some things to consider?
So some things to consider that I like to tell people is that the tax professional you're going to work with, they probably have internal deadlines. So while the deadline is April 18th, our internal deadline is actually March 31st for you to get everything to us. So any clients that come in after March 31st, they're going on automatic extension, and we'll work with them, like, you know, as time goes on, we'll in the order that they're coming in, but they're going to go on automatic extension because we don't try to rush our returns. So you can work with a professional, but just know that they might have internal deadlines that while it's not April 18th, they probably are still going to put you on extension because of the time frame that you came in. So you're still going to work with a professional. It just might not be rushed to get filed by the deadline.
Yeah. But if you're doing it on your own, you still technically have up to April 18th to get it filed.
Yeah. So if you're doing it on your own, you have until the 18th at midnight where you are located. You, whatever software you're using, it should give you no issues to submit up until the 18th. I wouldn't wait until that last minute because, like everything technology-wise, a lot of people are submitting. And so things might get delayed. So, you know, you want to make sure that you give it enough time to work.
And I actually remembered a point I was going to ask earlier. If you, like me, I have contractors that work with me. One of my saving graces is I usually pay my contractors mm-hmm. through a service like PayPal, and then it automatically generates a 1099 for them yeah. if they make over $600. Are there other software that does that as well?
You're going to have PayPal and Stripe. Those are going to be softwares that are going to do that. But you want to make sure that, because there was something that the government actually issued recently, and it was that some processors are going to be having to issue 1099s for the 600 level. They changed it to give it an extra year because Stripe, PayPal, Cash App now, they used to have to issue 1099Ks for anything that hit, I think it was 20,000 for 10, like 300 transactions. It was like a big number. So a lot of people didn't get those 1099Ks. So they changed the reporting requirements that if anybody generated $600, and a lot of people had this whole panic, but it really was just coming into alignment with what the regular 1099s had to be issued. So I keep telling people it was no change for the actual person getting it. You just might get more, but nothing changed in the way the process should work for you. But so that has been put on pause. So if you pay through PayPal right now, you didn't have to issue a 1099 to them because PayPal was covering that. So that was one of the changes that for the individual, you issuing a 1099. But starting next year, PayPal, Stripe, Cash App, they should be issuing those 1099Ks for anything over 600. So if you pay via that method, you won't have to issue it.
Got it. Got it. And then for those, I remember that whole panic about the $600 thing. I think people were thinking like if they had more than $600 in these institutions, like they had a balance over $600, it was going to get reported to the IRS. I don't know where that came from, but it's not like something
else. It just came from social media. I think every time there's a change, people like jump on the bandwagon and just post about it, but they don't really post the way it works. So I kept telling people, this is a reporting requirement. You know who should be upset? Right. PayPal, Stripe. Because now they have to issue a ton more 1099Ks when they used to have to do it for the 20,000 level, and now they have to do it for 600. But they're the only, like, their reporting department is the one who is getting more work added to them.
Yeah. People have this irrational fear that the government is, like, watching every dollar that comes in. Newsflash! Like, do you know any government, do you know any government employee? Do you know how overworked they are? Like, there is, like, no way they could possibly be watching you, by the way. And usually it's the people who ain't got no money.
And you, I'm like, you are probably not on their radar whatsoever. Like, let's just call a spade a spade here.
At all. And I want to address, like, if you have contractors that are overseas, like, does a 1099 still apply to them?
Nope. So a 1099 is like a US-based tax form that's going to be for stateside contractors. Depending on the country that you're working with, you might have to have them fill out a W-8-BEN or something. I don't remember the naming of that form, but that's a separate form that's separate from the W-9 because certain contractors, you might have to withhold taxes from them because you know how typically with contractors, you're not withholding taxes, but certain contractors, depending on where they're stationed, you might have to withhold taxes for them. And that's where those other tax forms come into play. But typically, no.
Yeah, that makes sense. What usually happens for me is I have some contractors that are abroad is that they get withheld taxes on their end. So then I have to like overpay them and compensate them for the taxes because then they don't get like shorted on how much they're going to get paid, but it's a calculation. They usually know how to do it, but just Yeah, just something to consider. Because when you're like, no, I said I was only going to pay this much for the service, it's typically factoring in that they have to pay taxes on those things. So, yeah. All right. What other things, Atiyah? What's one last thing we should be thinking about?
I think what people should be thinking about that they don't like to think about is tax planning. And while we're in tax season and people are trying to get their tax returns done, they need to figure out how they can actually reduce what they're paying. And so now is the great time because your tax season is going to be looking at January to December. And you want to make sure that when you come to this time next year, that you know what you're supposed to be paying, you know that you're not overpaying, and you can reduce what you have to pay. So start working with your tax professional to make sure that you have a plan in place to reduce what you actually have to pay. So start getting proactive so that next year, like we're in 2023 now, you can actually get some savings in 2023. So when you have to file your 23 tax return, that you actually get savings. Because right now, there's not that many savings that we can get for you in your tax return.
What do you say to people who are like the perpetual, you know, married filing zero people that just do that so they can... because they're scared of paying taxes and they want to make sure that they get a refund instead of paying.
I tell people all the time, if you are getting a large refund every single year and it's not because of a credit, like there's not a credit that's giving you this, it's just because your withholdings are too much, you need to adjust your withholdings. Because what that means is that you gave the government an interest-free loan throughout the year, so the government held onto your money and they're just giving it back to you. You just, when you filed your tax return, you calculated what you owed. They were like, you paid us too much. So here is the difference. You don't get any interest on that. So you want to consider adjusting your withholdings so that you can have a bigger take-home check so that you can do other things throughout the year. You can invest, you can put your money to use in other ways, but really you should not be getting large refunds year after year after year, unless a credit is involved. But you shouldn't be getting large refunds just because your withholdings are too high. So you want to adjust your withholdings.
So for people who are self-employed and don't know how to predict how much income they're going to have, what are some things that you tell them to do as like best practices?
So when it comes to, there are a couple ways that you can calculate it. And the easiest way is taking your tax liability of the prior year and submitting that throughout the year. So taking 100% of what your liability was last year and submit that throughout the year as your estimated payments. And that'll make sure that you're covered with your estimated payments. So even if it's you owe less or you owe more, you'll get that refund or a liability. Bless you. But you'll get that difference. And at least you know that you submitted a good estimate. So if you can submit an estimate of 100% of what you paid last year, that's a good benchmark for you to go with.
And as somebody who's self-employed, you should be submitting quarterly estimates, correct?
Yes. It's definitely recommended just so that you keep, because the government works on an earn and pay system. So you're earning income throughout the year. They need to collect tax dollars throughout the year. And when you're an employee, that's happening with your withholdings. But when you're self-employed, you file your tax return at the end of the year. So that's where the estimated taxes come into play, is you earned income, you should submit taxes. And so you should be submitting estimated taxes if you owe $1,000 at the end of the year, you should be submitting throughout the year.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for me, because I have both, a way that I typically do it is that I do have my taxes taken out of my paycheck every pay period, just like everybody else. But if I know I have to pay more in estimates, then I'll just add, like, if you say like you $1,000 a year, like $100 extra a month to the pay period, to my extra withholdings to cover that. So that's a way, if you have both, for people who are employed and self-employed, to kind of cover those estimated taxes. But if you are in that situation, you don't necessarily have to file a separate estimated tax, correct?
Exactly. So perfectly fine. Yeah. And I recommend that because it makes it easier, right? You don't have to submit anything extra. Your withholdings is going to cover it. So if you're in a situation where you're dual and you have W-2 inside, I would suggest that you adjust your withholdings and that'll cover you submitting the estimated payments.
Perfect. All right. So, Atiya, whenever people have tax questions for me, like, this is like so out of my scope. But anytime people I always refer them to you. So if people want to work with you, not for this tax season, because she's busy, she's done, it's closed, or people want to do tax planning with you, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, so they can still work with us for taxes. They're just going to be on extension and then we'll get to them. But so they can still definitely work with us. They can schedule a free call and I'll give you the links, but they can schedule a free discovery call and then they can get put on our calendars. If they wanted to get started with their tax return right away without the call, like they know they just want to work with us, they can go to bit.ly/tax-prep-sign-up. And that'll get them signed up into our portal and then we can just go from there.
Awesome. And I'll have all the links in the show notes for you to sign up and work with Atiya. But as you can see, she has a wealth of knowledge, a great resource to have. I love having you as a resource. So I appreciate you being on this show. And, you know, if you guys need to reach out to Atiya, don't hesitate because she has all the gems when it comes to taxes. So thank you again, Atiya.
Thanks for having me.
I definitely appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to My Mommy's Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.